Our next two presenters come from Russia. They both are employed at the Glinka State Central Museum of Musical Culture. Natalia Solovieva was here last year. She is the chief of music, sound, and video recordings. And Boris Tikhomirov is the chief of the sound recording studio at the museum. And Natalia has asked me, if you have questions, please write them down and give them to her in written form during the break. Oops.
Here we go.
Thanks.
I have to use it.
Here, you want to put that in your pocket?
Here. Please, I don't know.
Okay. You can just put it in your pocket if you want.
And where is mine? I'm sorry. Excuse me, something is wrong. Oh, thank you. Dear colleagues, one may think that all is already known about life and work of Mikhail Ivanovich Glinka, the founder of the Russian classical music, whose composition is the national anthem of New Russia. However, the interpretation of music by Glinka has not been studied to a sufficient extent. Of undoubted interest in this respect is a vast discography of Glinka's compositions, which has not been thoroughly explored up to recent time. This report covers all the pre-1917 Russian recordings of music by Glinka stored in the sound archive of the Glinka State Central Museum of Musical Culture. This collection is not full, but still affords an opportunity to clarify the formation of traditions in the interpretation of music by Glinka and, even in a broader sense, of the national classical music in the practice of the Russian gramophone companies. On the threshold of the 20th century, music by Glinka was recorded by all available means, on records, piano rolls, cylinders, and metal discs. All kinds of these recordings are represented in the museum collection. The repertoire is almost the same. Fragments of operas and orchestral works, instrumental arrangements and potpourri. Obviously, both Russian and foreign companies prefer to record the most popular compositions. For instance, the German metal disc Symphonion, available in the collection of the Polytechnic Museum in Moscow, features the most famous in Russia Glinka's theme, Glory, Glory to Sacred Russia, from the finale of A Life for the Tsar. Tape one. Most of all, music by Glinka was recorded on the label Gramophone. The outstanding performers of Glinka's music, such as singers Shalapin, Kostorsky, Sibiryakov, Labinsky, Mikhailova, and Zbruyeva, concluded contracts with the joint stock company Gramophone. In the same direction, Pathy Company successfully competed. Music by Glinka was also recorded on the labels Zonophone, Metropole, Extraphone, and its series Artistotypia, Becca and Sirena. All these recordings may be subdivided into three groups, instrumental and operatic music and romances. The early instrumental recordings of music by Glinka, first of all, include orchestral fragments from operas and fragments of original symphonic compositions, Kamarinskaya and the two Spanish overtures, as well as short arrangements. One of the earliest recordings available in the museum collection is the mazurka from A Life for the Tsar opera on the label Berliner's Grammophone. The Polish dance is performed by the Cavalry Guards Brass Band under the direction of Ruzek in a simple and merry manner, even somewhat awkwardly. It is impossible to imagine the sinister background of the mazurka symbolizing the Polish interventionists. Take two. On the contrary, the waltz from A Life for the Tsar on the label Xenophon returns us back to the scene of triumph of the Polish aristocracy. It is played by brass band under the direction of Ivan Arkadyev most gracefully. It was hardly possible to record such compositions as the Spanish overtures by Glinka for less than 4 minutes and to keep to the artistic intention. This is the reason why the introduction of the first Spanish overture, Aragonskaya Jota, on the label Gramophone is reduced to a dismal chord. At once emerges a joyful dancing theme. The musicians of the so-called Symphony Orchestra in London are doing their best to play masterly. When listening to the middle part of this brilliant capriccio, one cannot resist smiling. Such recordings did, of course, distort Glinka's music, but on the other hand, contributed greatly to its popularity. At least in 1909, the most significant scenes of both operas by Glinka were recorded on the label Gramophone. This coincided with new operatic stagings. In 1904, the staging of A Life for the Tsar at the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow was a great success. It was conducted by Sergei Rachmaninoff. Fyodor Shalapin played Ivan Susanin, the Russian peasant who saved in 1613 the first Tsar of the Romanov dynasty. It is an interesting fact that all the recordings of A Life for the Tsar better interpreted Glinka's music as compared with the Soviet ones. In the USSR, this opera was performed as a folk musical drama Ivan Susanin, with a new text written by Sergei Gorodetsky in the 40s. The previous text of 1836 was also written later than the music itself, but Baron Rosen, the poet, had to fulfill the task posed by the composer. Therefore, the recordings of A Life for the Tsar conducted by Igor Markievich on the labels Capital and La Voix de son Maître made in the USSR a strong impression. it became clear that not only the old text, but the music itself expresses the religious and autocratic ideas. The most dramatic scene of a life for the Tsar is Susanna's aria from the fourth act, featuring the main personage saying farewell to life in a high-spirited manner. Now you will hear the opening recitative from Shaliapin's recording on gramophone. Sound the initial phrase of the aria from recording by Dmitry Bukhtayarov on xenophone. Another wonderful bass singer is Vladimir Kostorsky on gramophone. The exciting image of Susanna's daughter Antonina bemoaning her father is disclosing itself in the romance from the third act. Let us first listen to the recording by Maria Mikhailova on gramophone. To compare the preceding fragment with a restored recording by Evgenia Bronskaya on the label Melodia. On the screen, you will see her in another part. Thank you. is one more vivid personage in the life of the Tsar, Vanya, an orphan adopted by Susanin. It was he who warned the Tsar of the danger. You will hear Vanya's aria prayer from the fourth act, performed by two contraltos. The first singer is Darya Zakharova on gramophone. Unfortunately, on the screen you will see her in the part of Zibel from Faust by Gounod. The second singer is Evgenia Zbruyeva on gramophone. Owing to the 1909 catalogue of the Gramophone Company, we may understand how in the past operas were recorded. It advertises one recording of the overture and 23 recordings of performers from the Imperial Theatres in the scenes from five acts of Ruslan and Ludmila opera. And like it is practiced in the theatre, a double or triple composition of performers is named. The recordings were made in different time. In the same manner, Evgeny Onegin by Tchaikovsky and Faust by Gounod were recorded. Let us listen to some fragments of Ruslan and Ludmila. In the first act, a minstrel by Jan prophesies unusual fates of Kiev princess Ludmila and her bridegroom Ruslan. The second song of Bayan is performed by two singers, Alexander Karinzin and Evgeny Vitting. On the screen, you will see Vitting in the part of Radames from Aida by Verdi. At first, Karenzin. Suddenly, Ludmila disappears. In the second act, the good magician Finn explains to Ruslan that Ludmila was abducted by the malicious dwarf Chernomor. Finn's story ballad is performed by Nikolai Balshakov. Мин wicked sorceress Naina lends effective help to one of Ruslan's rivals, the Varangian warrior Farlav. The cowardly knight is beside himself with joy. Rondo of Farlav was magnificently performed by Shalapin. On the eve of the battle with a gigantic head, Ruslan overcomes his grave doubts. Ruslan's aria is performed by Vladimir Kostorsky. It's head. The rival of Ruslan is the Eastern Prince Ratmir. In the third act, we meet the grieving fiancé of Ratmir, Gorislava. Cavatina of Gorislava is performed by Natalia Yuzhina. Gorislava, Ratmir finds himself in the magic palace of Naina. His aria, reminiscent of Oriental music, is performed by Evgenia Zbruyeva. The beginning of the fourth act is devoted to Lyudmila, suffering in the gardens of Chernomor. Her aria is performed by Antonina Nezhdanova. Chernomor slaves are entertaining the girl. The graceful Arabic dance is performed by a symphony orchestra conducted by Guga Varlich. Excuse me. several scenes from the fifth act herald the happy end. Of course, such recordings did not reveal all the peculiarities of this untypical opera. Still another, even more modest goal pursued by the Gramophone Company was fulfilled: to show Glinka's capability to outline the nature of different nations, Russian, Finnish, and Oriental. Glinka's elegiac romances, full of love emotions, were often recorded before 1917. The earliest of them, Do Not Tempt Me Needlessly, was successfully performed by Medea and Nikolai Figner. You will hear another family duet, Natalia Yuzhina and David Yuzhin, on gramophone. Noteworthy that different arrangements of Glinka's vocal and operatic music enriched greatly the Russian instrumental repertoire. This was especially necessary for balalaika and accordion, as the classical repertoire for these musical instruments had not yet been wide. For example, the romance Do Not Tempt Me Needlessly was performed by Alexander Dobrokhotov on balalaika. There is his recording on xylophone. The Mazurka from A Life for the Tsar was performed by the so-called Accordion Orchestra under the direction of Warshawski. There is also a recording of it on xylophone. Widely known were arrangements of the Lark romance. One of them had been performed by the string quartet on the label Extraphon. The most popular romance was rather Doubt. Nobody but Shalapin was the best performer of this romance. You will hear Doubt in the arrangement for cello and harp. Accompaniment is by Dmitry Andreev. The cellist is Alexander Vershbilovich, a friend of Tchaikovsky. There are two versions on gramophone, black and in color. Recording of Doubt on xylophone is interesting too. The romance is played by St. George Quartet. us, before 1917, only a certain part of Glinka's legacy had been recorded in Russia. However, those operas were recorded, which had not been recognized during the life of the composer, as the Russian public gave priority to the Italian musical theater. What was the interpretation of Glinka's music on the Soviet and foreign recordings? What part in this process is taken by the new Russian companies? Discography of music by Glinka is waiting for its explorers. Thank you.
I'll take that. Okay.